next year, 2021, is going to be 1,500 years since the birth of Colum Caoimhín Gartam, near Church Hill, not far from Letterkenny in Donegal. We're thinking about how we will mark that fantastic centenary. One idea that I had, because I have a great love for Camino-type walking in Spain, and I've done it there a good few times. We had a sense, myself and a wee group of people, that we could do Camino in the footsteps of Colum Kill, linking together a lot of the places in County Donegal and into Derry that have memories of a tradition of Colum Kill. So we have been working on it for quite a while, imagining what the route would be like, and this was going to be a proof of concept to see that it would work, that it would be a good walking experience, but also that it would be a good Camino experience. So we set off from Glen Colum Kill in southwest Donegal, and it was 12 full days, 11 of those walking, and one day a boat trip into Torrey Island. So from Glen Colum Kill to Ardara, Ardara to Dunglow, Dunglow to Gidor, Gidor to Maharoroti, and then the fifth day we took the boat into Torrey. Torrey Island has an ancient Columban heritage. The tradition is that Colum Kill himself founded the monastery, and certainly either he did or monks from Iona, probably in his lifetime, did. So there are so many places in Donegal that go back to the time of Colum Kill, or in which there is a huge tradition of devotion to and stories about Colum Kill associated with him.
How far would you do each day?
We were a bit taken aback the first 2 days. We had estimated just from the maps and so on that it would be about 25 those 2 days, and it was over 30. The first day, 30 kilometres. There is already a Slí Colum Killa that goes up out of Glen Colum Kill over the mountains in the direction of Ardara, and we thought that that would be 25, and that was a strong, hard, tough Camino day, 32 kilometres.
In one day?
Yeah, absolutely. And on the next day the same, it was over 30 again.
That's a lot of walking.
It was a lot of walking, and it was tough. The second day, I'll always remember, that was the Tuesday, the 14th of July, and it rained all day in the north, and, oh, boys, we were soaked.
Mm.
But, you know, like, the effect of that was to get you into realising this is not just a wee walk on holiday, this is a pilgrimage. And it was great. So I had a wee group of, the core group who have been helping me develop this, came along most days. So we always had at least, I think the smallest ever walking was four of us. And then there were days when a good big crowd gathered around.
And for people who haven't been to Donegal, as it is not as well known as Kerry, these are stunning locations that you're talking about. People might know them better now this year after COVID and staycationing.
Right.
It's beautiful territory.
We were walking through, it was incredible. And you know, the beauty about our weather was that on the one day we had sun and cloud and mist and rain, and they all look different. They change all through the day, all of these places, looking out over lakes or across hills, down valleys, phenomenally. Mm. It was just a phenomenally beautiful experience.
Move me on then, so you went to the beautiful...
Then his birthplace was Gartam, where we had just arrived, and we stayed just beside Gartam at that church hill. The next morning we had Mass in Glendowen Chapel, which is beside Gartan Loch, and headed to Doonwell. Fantastically significant well. There's Doonwell just beside Doon Rock, which was the inauguration stone of the O'Donnells, the clan which arose out of Colum Kill's tribe, from Doonwell down into Kilmacrenan, where he was baptised, and on into Letterkenny to the Cathedral of St. Eunan and St. Colum Kill, St. Columba. And we stopped that day in the Cathedral in Letterkenny. Then the final stretch of 3 days was we set off from Letterkenny to go to Rafu. Mm. And Rafu is the monastery linked especially with St. Eunan, who was a successor as Abbot of Iona and who wrote the first life of Colum Kill about 80 or 90 years after Colum Kill's death. inside the city walls. Both of them have claims to be the site of the original monastery. I would imagine the original monastery had a very big footprint and surely contained both of them within its remit. And on up to St. Columb's Cathedral, where the clergy in all three places gave us a big welcome.
That's lovely, because that was sort of an ecumenical. That St. Augustine's Church does a lot of ecumenical work there with the people in the Bogside, even during the marches and things like that. And the monastery then of Columbkill, you reckon, Alan, would have maybe been big enough to take in Long Tower, St. Augustine's, and further up to the Church of Ireland people.
Our sense of what a monastery is just a big building. Like, a Celtic monastery contained a church, a scriptorium, lots of farm buildings, and then probably individual kilina. You know, I think your idea of a monastery, my sense of it is that it's a thing that would cover a couple of acres within its outer perimeter, rather than the picture of just a big house. The Celtic monks tended to live in kilina rather than in big dormitories. They would have been spread out over a wider territory. Mm. Now, I'm not an expert on that, so I probably shouldn't be saying. But anyway, it was great to be in Derry, and we had a big welcome there.
Good.
And our plan was to take a boat from Derry up to Moville and have a circle walk that would take in Shrove. We didn't do that. We ended up the next day. We just went to Moville and walked from Moville to Greencastle and to Shrove. The tradition there is that having set out from the quay in Derry, they stopped at Shrove, and Columbkill had a last view of Derry from there and left Ireland from Shrove. At the end of that, we gathered back in, there's a maritime museum in Greencastle, and there was, there was a big group of people from the Derry Diocese and others who had worked with us that day, and various people, clergy of different denominations who have supported us along the way, the Reverend David Holton, who's director at Garden Land in Letterkenny, and the Reverend Marlene Scoos, a Methodist minister in Inishowen. They gathered with us, and we had a final blessing. The thing started out way back in Glencolumbkill with the two priests in residence in Glencolumbkill blessing us and sending us on our way, and it ended at Greencastle there, just beside the port at Greencastle, with a final blessing led by the Reverend Holton and the Reverend Marlene Scoos. It just was a lovely moment of bringing the thing to conclusion, and we had lots of walkers and supporters gathered around us there. It was great.
What did you gain from it, do you think, and what will people gain? First of all, your own personal experience, in terms of what you got from all that walking, praying, meeting people. It must have worked at a lot of levels.
It did, surely. Now, first of all, it's a physical challenge. I found the first 2 days were longer than I thought they were going to be. And indeed, I wouldn't recommend everybody to walk 30 kilometres a day over the mountains. A whole lot of people should definitely choose not to. I did, and the second day was very wet, and at that night I was utterly exhausted. And there was one side of me who was saying to myself, maybe you can't do this. Maybe this is just too much for you. And another voice in me was saying, you pushed yourself too hard. You are pushing yourself too hard. The first voice that said, maybe you can't do this, was not the good spirit. The second voice that said, you are pushing yourself too hard, was. So on the third day, I got up, and there was the lesson of the restorative powers of a good night's sleep. A good night's sleep. And it's amazing what it cannot do for you. Mm. Got up the next day, and we said, we will just walk along nice and handy here and see how we go. We won't push ourselves. And there's just there's a kind of a personal learning in that ultimately is very gratifying. You know, as I say, I felt pushed almost to beyond my limits. I realized that part of it was driving myself too hard, and I eased off. And it was just a lovely learning in that, and a sense of that when you find your rhythm, you can do far more than you thought you could. And your rhythm usually is more than you think you can do, but pushing far less than you're often tempted to push yourself. There's something about walking the Shlí teaches you that, if you allow it to. There was the delight of having others around me who were often there for a chat as you were walking along, and then there were long times when you'd just be on your own trying to take in the beauty of the places you were walking through, or just quietly praying, reflecting as you went along. And there's just such a richness in that. Another beautiful experience was, as we were going along, people heard that we were coming. And as we came to the Guibarra Bridge, and it was lashing rain, it's the bridge across the Guibarra River that brings you into the Rosses. So for Rosses people, it is just of immense significance. And there was a crowd of them there. There were about 10, from the wee girls of 10 and 11 with their mommies and their grannies. And they were so welcoming, standing in the rain, and they conducted us across the bridge into the Rosses, brought us up to the parochial house where we were able to sit down and have a cup of tea. And it was just so, so welcome, both the seat and the tea, because it was cold. We were cold and wet that day. From then on, everywhere we went, there were people out at the gate. There were older people who were cocooning in the window, and people would say, look, look, look. And I'd see that they were waving, people in their houses waving, and we waved back to them. There was just a lovely wee sense of community. For me, from Dunglow on the whole way to Falcarra, we were walking through the Gaeltacht, and just that, the atmosphere of the Irish language and culture was just all around us. It was really beautiful. And actually, when you're walking along and you can stop at people's gates, you get a real sense of that far, far, far more rich than driving through it in your car.